Well, he is the first Australian-born coach to reach the knockout stages of the FIFA World Cup. He did it this year. We lost to the eventual champions, and boy, did we put in a solid showing in doing so. He's re-signed until 2026. He's fast becoming nigh on a regular here with me on Summer Grandstand. Graham Arnold joins me. Graham, always a pleasure to speak to you.
You too, Ben. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for joining us. You had some time after the World Cup weighing up your future. What were you pondering in that time before re-signing?
Oh, well, I just wanted to, obviously, after the emotion and everything of the World Cup, was to have a break, and probably it's a break, first break I've had in so many years, not having to worry about, you know, what the players are up to and where they're at, but also staffing and all that stuff and planning and preparation. So it was just good to clear the brain. I went to the UK, finished off watching the World Cup at a better time there than here. and finish watching that and have a good break. So it was very good.
Are you like the rest of us? Do you look at Argentina winning it and think, gee, we were right there with Argentina, who were the eventual winners?
Yeah, look, it was crazy because I was really down and disappointed after the game because, you know, back here in Australia, everyone's saying how well we did. And obviously, yes, we did well to get to the last 16, but I just felt that that game, especially, we handed them two goals. It wasn't through the brilliance of their players or of scoring the goal or anything. It was two mistakes from us that we got punished on. And if anything, we sort of handed them the game. And I just felt that, you know, in the 55th minute, they brought Martinez on as a, you know, Manchester United player at centre back, and they tried to shut up shop in the 55th minute. And I just felt, you know, I remember looking at Rene Molenstein, my assistant, and saying, wow, they've gone to five at the back. Messi's going to play as a second striker. They're running out of legs because they played two nights before, and not many people know this, but they played, you know, same time as we did, in the, you know, same day as we did, but we played in an air-conditioned stadium, and they played in a non-air-conditioned stadium. So they were pretty taxed, I felt. You know, I really felt we had a great chance to win that game.
Certainly. Graham, we saw reports during the week that there was significant interest in you in Netherlands, in England, Scotland, as well as an Asian national team. How accurate are those reports?
Yeah, no, look, 100%. You know, there was a couple of Dutch clubs wanting me to pretty much fly from England across to Holland, do a press conference. I could go back to England for Christmas, but then I had to be back there Boxing Day and pretty much starting straight away. And I just felt at that moment in time, especially mentally after what we've been through, I just needed a longer break. Had a couple of nations reach out from Middle East. And, you know, but I just felt that, you know, sitting down and reflecting on it and that, I just feel that we've got much more to give. I just, you know, I brought a lot of kids through in that campaign, and the kids really stepped up, and the likes of Harry Suter, Kai Rowles, Riley McGree, young Garen Kuol, and that, these kids are only going to get better. And I just feel that, and I would have, and I probably would have, if I felt that, you know, we got the max out of the boys and that was it, it was, we won't get any more, then I probably would have left. But I just feel that we've got much more to give, and, you know, the boys coming through are going to only improve, and I look forward to the next 3.5 years.
I don't want to call it a potential golden generation, not because of pressures or anything like that, because I think we're hoping that it will become par for the course rather than a generation that sits above the rest. But do you look at what we have at the moment and think, by gee, there could be something absolutely special coming out of this group of players that we have at the moment?
Yeah, look, and you know, people look back and just, you know, they talk about the Golden Generation boys and they were fantastic. But, you know, Mark Viduka and, you know, those type of players. So, you know, Mark was playing in Scotland at around the age of 20, 23, 24 before he went to Leeds. So this is what a lot of our young boys are doing. You know, they're doing the Scotland or they're doing the Championship in England. Harry Suter, as you saw, just got sold to Leicester City. And I expect those boys to you know, come along even better. And we've got some very good kids coming through here in the A-League. And, you know, the A-League is a very underrated league. You know, I think that, and I have to watch every week, I have to watch, you know, the boys playing in Norway, Denmark, Belgium, and these type of competitions where The A-League is on that level, and we've got some good kids coming through, and I believe the future's looking bright.
We even got an Aussie running around for mighty St Johnstone in the Scottish Premier League, which we're very happy about. Harry Soutar, you mentioned that, Graham. It's believed to be an Australian record transfer. Have you spoken to Harry since it's all gone through?
Yes, he reached out to me to let me know that he was going to do the medical, and everything was done. And I met Brendan Rodgers once or twice when I went to Celtic just to visit Tommy Rogic at the time. And Brendan even sent me a text how excited he was to have signed Harry. And if I could give him a couple of little comments about Harry or feedback on Harry's personality. And so it was fantastic to get a text off him. But as I said, it's fantastic for Australian football that Harry is there and he's leading the way for those other youngsters.
Yeah, it's tremendous to see. Graham Arnold, the Socceroos coach, very generously chatting to us here on Summer Grandstand again. It was introduced to the conversation once more this week about relegation and promotion in Australian football. You and I had a great discussion, I think about a year ago, about development in this country, your new or your reappointment overseas, a lot of that. Where do you land on the pros and cons of promotion and relegation in Australian football?
Yeah, look, I think we've got to look at where we're at as a sporting nation, and there's no relegation in any major sport. And AFL don't have it, rugby league doesn't have it, and it's a bit like America where they don't have it either. And the MLS over there, they've gone up to they've got about 28 teams. So maybe if we don't have promotion relegation, I think then we just need many more clubs and more teams in the A-League to, go from 12 clubs up to maybe 16, 18 clubs to give more opportunities to players and more academies at junior level and, more focus on what we're doing. But as I said, it's, you'd love to have promotion relegation, but the only way you can do that is probably the second division clubs would have to prove that they've got the resources, they've got the money, they've got the stadiums, and they've got everything that that is required to play at the A-League level.
Referencing back to our chat, it stuck with me. I spoke to Greg Shippard about it last week, who coaches the Sydney Sixers in the Big Bash. He said, don't reduce the number of games. We need them to develop players. And you spoke about our young players not playing enough games. In your press conference, you also spoke of delivering bespoke infrastructure for the game across Australia. How much control do you have to influence things like what we spoke about? More games for our players, meaning more development.
Yeah, look, I only can say it's just like golf. How do you become a single handicapper? And it's probably from training or playing twice a week, not playing once a week for 6 months of the year. And, if you look at, look at Keanu Backus and Cam Devlin, the kids that left West Sydney Wanderers or Wellington Phoenix only, 12 months ago, and you just physically look at their body, they've got such stronger bodies, and that's not from sitting in the gym and doing extra stuff. It's from playing games, and the only way the kids can get better and the game can get better, I believe, is playing much more. We play here in the A-League summer football, or everywhere in Europe and everywhere they're playing in winter. So why can't we play nearly a whole year round game and as I said, play much more match minutes. The more you play, the better you're going to get.
That might be the window. Hey, I know you've got to run, last one, and there's a part of me that regrets asking it. There's kind of a part of me that says you either want to or you don't, and I'm not going to concern myself with it anymore. But do we have any word yet, or are we any closer to knowing about Christian Volpato as to whether he's going to play for Australia or Italy?
No. That's one thing that I want to do probably in the next 6 months is get over to Italy and meet him face to face. I've spoken to the kid obviously over the phone a number of times, but I want to get over there face to face. There's another good kid at Parma, Alexander Sicati, also, and young Alexander Robinson at Manchester City. So these three kids they grew up here in Australia. They learned all their football here in Australia, and as I said, it's It's crucial I get over there face to face and have a good chat with these kids.
We appreciate you, Graeme. Always very generous with your time, and great to see you leading our Socceroos for the next, 3 years at least. Appreciate your time. Three and a half.
Okay. Okay, buddy.
Thanks, Graeme.
Thank you.